Yeah, I went ahead and moved it on. I want to see the difference. Maybe the volume pick up a little better. Now, y'all don't be distracted when bill collectors call me. All right. Welcome, everyone. How's everybody doing tonight? Good, good. Everybody been having a good week so far? So far. All right. Well, it is good to be here tonight. And it's always good to be able to congregate together midweek, plug in, get recharged. And at least that's the goal anyway. But anyway, we're going to jump right into things as we normally do on Wednesday nights. And let me go ahead and do our upcoming events and reminders first, and then we'll do the prayer list side of it. But let's see. I do want to say that our tech work will begin on next week. Getting everything together, and so we should be good to go next week on that and start putting some stuff up and upgrading our electronics. And so that's a good thing. And also Saturday, for those who can make it, 10 o'clock there in the fellowship hall, we'll be meeting and have a word of prayer, time of prayer together, and then we'll go out and just a couple hours, something like that, although for those who can, and invite some people to church. And of course on Sunday, Otis Nixon will be here, and I confirmed for a fourth time on him, because I know a lot of people are looking forward to it, and if you don't show up, I'm going to be dodging tomatoes. But anyway, he is coming. He is going to be here. He's excited. And I know I'm excited. I know you are as well. So that's going to be a good time. Remember that. And also remember, on Thursday is tomorrow, is a ladies' prayer brunch at 11 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Be a great time to be part of that. If some of you haven't, some of you ladies haven't yet, be a good time to be part of that. So remember that. And also remember, on the 18th, that's going to be on next Sunday, after the morning service in the afternoon. I think it's around, 3 o'clock CLU-ish. And so remember CLU. And then, of course, the last Sunday night of the month is going to be our Sunday night fellowship downstairs. And so we like to keep that going regular every last Sunday night of the month, having a time of fellowship downstairs with some food and a devotion. So remember that. And then Jubilee is right around the corner next month. And that's going to be March the 3rd through March the 7th. And looking forward to a good time with that. All right, we're going to jump into prayer requests. I've got quite a few to mention here. Number one, Miss Catherine has recovered from her flu, but Brother Ceylon has it, and he's doing not so well with that. So let's please remember Brother Ceylon in our prayers tonight. Chuck and Cece, they were out last Sunday. They were sick, not feeling well. And let's remember them as they continue to recover. James Townsend was in the hospital, but now he's out of the hospital. And just checked my phone a minute ago, and he's at home, and he's doing better. And I believe the text message Christy sent it to me, it says that he's got a smile on his face. So that's good. And so we're thankful he's home. We'll continue to remember him, though, and Miss Shirley in our prayers. Miss Claudia put in a prayer request for her two great-granddaughters, I believe. They're not doing well. I believe they got the flu. They got the flu, so the flu is here. And some of you have already had it, and so you know what it's like. And so we're going to remember them in prayer. And then Brother Don Don Rich went for his lower lumbar puncture. And good to see he's recovered from that. And, of course, waiting on results. God knows when, right? And we're certainly praying for good results on that. But at the same time, we're praying for something to be pinpointed so you can get better. Also praying for the Lord just to touch you so y'all can be over this. And feeling better, and I know you want to get back to Peru, and so we're remembering you guys on that. David Smith, one of our preachers you know very well in Jubilee, he's getting a scan tomorrow on his cancer to see where that's at. And also, he's having back surgery just after Jubilee's over. And so remember him on that. And then quite a few people already know this. He told me they did, but I'll go ahead and mention him because I love him. And I want to pray for him. I want you to know about it. Brother Snyder's having back surgery on Monday. And I asked him, and he said several people already know about it. At first, this is kind of something he's going to keep to himself. But then he said, several people know about it. And I just want you guys to remember him in prayer. And I believe that's on Monday at Kennestone. I believe it is. I believe they're having to put in a disc, something like that. He's having trouble walking and standing, and the nerve in his leg and all that kind of stuff. And so remember him on that, if you would. We had kind of an eventful night in our neighborhood last night. We were all going to sleep, and we heard sirens, which from time to time we'll hear sirens, going down the road. But they got closer and closer and closer, and I didn't pay no attention. I just drifted off to sleep, and the next thing I knew, Christy jumped up, and she's like, "Justin, you won't believe it. There was a house on fire in our neighborhood." And so we literally had a house on fire in our neighborhood last night. It was on the back porch. I mean, it was a huge blaze. I've never been that close to a house fire. But the firemen, boy, they came. They did their job. They put the fire out before it spread to the whole house. And from as much as I know, no one got hurt or injured. But I tell you what, that really gets to you. Today I'm looking at my smoke detectors and checking things and making sure, because that's just terrible. I mean, house fires are bad. And a lot of them can be prevented. And so make sure you got fresh batteries in your smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. Take care of your home and each other. But anyway, just remember that family in your prayers. So let's continue to remember our children's home and Miss Glenda and the Jackson family, plus the prayer requests that she's been mentioning for the past couple of weeks. Let's remember that. Any updates on... Sure will. Let's remember this request. And again, just everyone on our prayer list, as we have them mentioned in here, from Brother Harold to the Palmers to Connie Norton, Randy and Diane Ely, the Daly's, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown and the Marines, and Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. So does anybody have an update, a prayer request or a praise? Son? Okay. We sure will. Thank you for sharing that. We'll be praying for you. Anybody else? Remember that request. Sure will. Anybody else? Okay. We sure will. Thank you for mentioning that. Anybody else? Very good news. Thank you for sharing that. That is great. That is really good. Anybody else? All right. Well, all that would meet us in the altar tonight. We'll have a time of prayer together. And then Brother Jeff will have a song for us. Fly Away Remix. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I like it. I like it. So, all right. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm sure you do, make your way to the book of Psalms, Psalm 107. We'll give you a break on Bible drill. And Book of Psalms, Psalm 107 is where we're going to be tonight. We finished up last Wednesday night a three-week study on the doctrine of the Bible, just looking at three different ones: Revelation, Inspiration, and Illumination. And so, again, we wrapped that up and don't have any clear direction on series at this point as of yet. So we're going to just look at something tonight that I've seen out of this psalm past couple days that spoke to my heart, and I hope that it will speak to yours tonight. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to begin reading out of verse number 23, Psalm 107. Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight, and Lord, we are so very thankful for your goodness, your love, your kindness, God. Tonight, Lord, I just pray for a few moments you would hide me behind the cross, getting me out of the way. Father, I pray that you would bring to my mind the things I've studied today. Lord, I pray that you'll communicate them, Holy Spirit, to the hearts of your people, those watching, those listening on Facebook. Lord, let us all tonight be a better Christian as a result this service tonight, this lesson that's about to be taught from your word, the word of God. We love you tonight, and we thank you. All these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Psalm 107, verse number 23, notice if you would. The Bible says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth, raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders." That's going to be our verses tonight, and that's reading from Psalm 107, verse number 23, down through verse number 32. This psalm tonight is untitled. There is no indication of the author, so we're not really sure about that. Could very well be that of David. What we have in this psalm is a call upon man to give God praise. And we have four particular situations in this psalm where God has helped man, and a command to give God thanks for his merciful interventions. At least four particular situations we have here. Verse number 1 down through verse number 9 deals with the wanderer. Notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. So that's one of the particular situations where God has helped man, and a command was given to give God thanks for His help. And then in verse number 10 down through verse number 16, we have another situation where God has helped man, and it deals with that of a prisoner. We're not going to read all these verses, but verse 10 says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Verse 14 says, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. So it deals with the prisoner there. Then in verse number 17 down through verse number 22, it deals with the sick. Verse number 18, the Bible says, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And then there's a fourth area where God has helped man, and He wants praise because of it. And that is verse number 23 through 32, our main verses tonight. And it has to do with the mariner or the fisherman, if you would. Verse 23, again, the Bible says, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Those are the four different scenarios: the wanderer, the prisoner, the sick, then the mariner. And then in verse number 33 through the last verse of this chapter, verse number 43, this deals with God's providence or God's working. Verse 33, the Bible says, He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. So this deals with God's providence or God's workings. And then I want you to take special notice of verse 43, that very last verse of the chapter. Because in this verse, it tells us to observe these things that we've just mentioned, everything in this chapter, and to understand God's loving kindness to us. He says in verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And so we tonight will be well in doing so, observing the things that we've just said, the situations in which God has helped man, and by observing these things, we're observing the loving kindness of God. And the Bible says that we would be wise in doing that. And of course, we should also render praise unto Him. Tonight, I want to call our attention back to the mariners. Back to the mariners. And more specifically, in verse number 27. Verse number 27. Now, let me just say, while no one here is a mariner, to my understanding, a shipman, there are some things in these verses that we all can benefit from in principle. Notice verse number 27. The Bible says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man, a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. That's what I want to call your attention to, that last phrase, and are at their wits' end. And tonight, the title of the lesson is simply this, when you reach your wits' end, or reaching your wits' end. I'm pretty sure we're all familiar with that phrase tonight, wits' end. Just last week, I said that phrase in our house when we couldn't figure out what's been going on with our dog Cooper for the past couple years. He's had an allergy problem, and my goodness, we've spent money after money trying to figure this out. We've had certain tests done. We've given I give him injections monthly myself with needles, injections. Okay. And I said the other day, because it seems like nothing's been working, and I told Christy, I said, I'm at wit's end with this. I just am. We're just going to trust God with this dog, and if he's going to live the rest of his life this way, not being well and always, you know, dealing with these allergies. And this is what I said, and I mean this. I don't want him to be miserable the rest of his dog life. Lord, just take him so he won't be miserable. I mean that. You animals lovers know what I'm talking about when it comes to taking care of pets. But I said, I'm at wit's end. But lo and behold, finally, he's starting to get better. Okay? So praise the Lord for that. And so tonight I want to share three things about when we reach wit's end. When we reach that place where we just feel like that we cannot outwit ourselves. We cannot with any more smarts get ourselves through what we're going through. The definition of the word wit. What does it mean? What's the word wit even mean? The word wit means smarts. It means wisdom. It means skill. Everyone has at least a little smarts, a little wisdom or skill in life. Of course, some have more wits than others. Some are more smarter than others, have more wisdom than others, have more skill than others. We know that. There's a TV show I used to watch called Man vs. Wild. Man vs. Wild. All right? And it's a man who gets dropped off in the middle of nowhere, and he has to survive. Sometimes it's the desert, sometimes it's mountains, sometimes it's just the woods. And he eats crazy things for food. He figures out how to get something to drink that's drinkable. He makes huts. He survives. He uses his wits to do that. Man versus wild. Well, I don't have much wits about me in survival in the wilderness. I guess I'll make it through if I was ever in the wilderness by some kind of survival mode. But I don't have much wits about me with something like that. Other scenarios I do. Well, I'll ask you a question tonight. What happens if we find ourselves in a situation where our smarts run out? Where our skill sets don't work? Or we experience something for the first time, we reach our wits' end. What happens then? What do? Well, again, tonight we're going to talk about this subject of reaching our wits' end. And, of course, we're mentioning the definition at here on our first point. And let me just say this. Look at verse 27. These mariners were at wit's end. These were professional seamen. Look at verse 27. Verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. And so these were professional mariners. They were real life professional seamen. And this was their business. And so being these professional mariners and being familiar with the waters, the Bible says in verse 27 that they still reached the place of wit's end. Listen, this was their business. They knew all about the waves. They knew all about the storms. They knew all about the winds, and they were very familiar. They spent all the time, all their time in the ocean and as their occupation. But still, as much as they knew about the waters, as much as they knew about the ocean, this being their business, the Bible says in verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Notice, if you would, also back up in verse 24. These men have seen the Lord at sea do great works. Look at verse 24. These sea, talking about these businessmen, these mariners, it being their business, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. And so these mariners, it was their business to be in the ocean. Again, they were familiar with the winds and the waves and all of those things. It was their business to be out there. They have seen in their business the Lord do wonderful works, the Bible says. These see, verse 24, the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Yet while these men were professional, while these men have seen the Lord do wonders, they still, on top of those things, reach the place of being at wit's end. You and I tonight, we could go around the room and say that we've seen the Lord do wonders, we've seen the Lord work in our lives and in the lives of others, yet at times we reach places we've never been before. We reach situations where we're not familiar with. We try to use our wits. We try to get through these situations, but sometimes we just reach our wits' end. We just get to the place where we don't have the smarts. We don't have the skill set. We don't have the experience. And so that's the situation these mariners were in. They were at wits' end. Although this was their business and although they've seen the Lord work, they still reached wits' end. Again, the definition of wit is smarts, wisdom, or skill. So not only do we see the definition of the word wit, but number two, I want us to look at the description of wit's end. The description. Now, in verse number 26, the Bible says they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. And so we see here that the waves elevated the ship. And because the waves elevated the ship, they were elevated in the ship. They mount up to the heaven. I believe it's talking about the mariners in the ship riding the waves high. The waves elevated the ship. And they experienced that. And also the Bible says, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. And so they're literally going up. And they're going down. The waves elevated the ship and they experienced that. And in between waves, they go low in so much, the Bible says, that their souls began to melt away. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. And so it's talking about they in the ship. They experienced the highs and they experienced the lows. And in so much that their soul, the Bible says, began to melt away. The words melt away or melted, the word melted here or melts away means to be dissolved or disappear. And so we may not be mariners tonight on a ship tonight, but we still experience the waves of life. It's the ups and it's the downs. And so if things were always up, that would be great. If things were always down, then we would at least not experience motion sickness. We would deal with our down times. But sometimes it's the ups and downs together that are so troublesome. Like these mariners, they mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. So we still may be catching our balance from a downtime, then life gets good again, yet there's still trauma from the downtime, the ups and downs of life. Or life is up, then we get into a down experience, and it's hard to appreciate the up experience. And so we see that through these mariners that life is a life of ups and downs, and that this can cause our soul to melt away. Trying to get our footing and get balanced, this can cause the soul, the emotions, who we are, to almost melt away. Again, that word melted means to be dissolved or disappear. And so we can actually, because of life's up and downs, we can actually almost not disappear, but we can change. We can change. Who we are can change. Life experiences can change us if we're not careful. And so we see the description of wit's end. Look, if you would, in verse number 27, continuing to look at the description of wit's end. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Because of the reeling and the rocking, they become different like a drunken man. Life can do that to us at times because of the waves and winds and storms. It can cause us to be different, as I just said. When we reach wit's end, there's sunburn on these ships from the sun. There's motion sickness. There's wind burn. And all those other things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. List goes on of all these other things they're exposed to. And because they're mariners. Well, also in life, we are exposed to things in the storms of life. We experience trauma from life's storms. And we try to figure things out with our own smarts. But sometimes we reach that place of being at our wit's end. Nothing's stopping, nothing's changing. And we've seen God work in the past, and we know He can work now. We're just reaching our wit's end. Has anybody ever been there before? Where you've reached your wit's end? When you've tried everything you can try, and nothing's changing, nothing's stopping. Things continue on. The waves are up of life. The waves go down. When you start to experience a little bit of joy, you're still stuck. And when you were in your low place, and so forth and so on. What I think happens during these times of when we start to reach our wit's end, we're actually reaching a place of desperation, a true, real dependency upon God. Think about it. When your experience runs out, you've reached your wit's end. You don't know what's going on. Nothing's changing or stopping. That's when there's a real, true dependency upon God. Because if we got it figured out, if we can use our smarts to get out of something, figure something out, then the dependence upon God may be there, but not as much as if you have reached your true wit's end. So we see the description of wit's end. These were business. It was the business of these mariners to be in the waters, and they seen God do great works. Yet because of these storms and such, the Bible says that they reached their wit's end. They were like drunken men, just staggering around, didn't know what to do, couldn't figure it out. And so we see that on point number two. Number three, I want you to notice, not only that, but the dealing with our wit's end. How do we deal with our wit's end when we get to that place? Well, number one, it has to do with perception. Perception. And it also has to do with providence. God's providence. Notice, if you would, in verse number 25. For He commandeth, speaking of God, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. It has to do with perception, of knowing that God ultimately is in control of the thing that's driving you to wit's end. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Now, drop down if you would and look at verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. This has to do with our perception. This has to do with the providence of God. And I believe that these verses are in this, these passages of Scripture talking about these mariners, because it's letting us know and it's teaching us on perception and God's providence. Well, yeah, these are mariners in the storm. These are mariners in the sea. They're at wit's end, yet God's in control of the storm. He can cause it to storm, and he can calm the storm. And then, of course, down in verse number 33, it talks about God's providence, and this deals with our perception. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And so, how do you deal with being at your wit's end? You deal with it by getting the right perspective, and that is to know that God is in control. And listen, easier preached than lived, I understand that. But what other option do you have? What other option do you have? When you reach that place where you can't outsmart it, you can't figure it out, you just have to learn how to perceive it. And that is, God is in control. And so we see that there. But not only when we deal with our wit's end, it has to do with perception, but again, it has to do with desperation. Desperation. Look at verse 28. Then, when they were at their wit's end, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. So it has to do with desperation. We can certainly cry out to the Lord. The Bible says he's there to help in time of need. But it's reaching that place where we can truly cry out, Lord, I am desperate. Lord, I've tried. I'm at wit's end. Okay? When you cry out to the Lord like that from a very desperate place, a place of being at wit's end, there is help for you. So we see that there's the word desperation. But then in verse number 30, there's the word restoration. Then, same verse, then are they glad. I'm getting turned around here. All right, verse 28. Verse number 30. Different verse. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Restoration. Okay? They were at wit's end, but then they cried unto the Lord in their desperation, and they were restored. The Bible says, then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven, or into their port. He made sure they got to where they were going safely. And so dealing with our wit's end has to do with perception, providence, desperation, restoration, again, verse number 30, destination, all right? But then, at the very end here, we see proclamation. As we said in the beginning of the lesson tonight, that there was a command here to praise the Lord, and there were four different scenarios to praise the Lord. The wanderers, the prisoners, those that are sick, and then the mariners. And so he says in verse number 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And so there's the proclamation there, talking about dealing with our wit's end. And then we looked at the description of being at your wit's end. Then we looked at the definition of the word wit. And then lastly tonight, I want to finish up again with verse number 43. Because he says, whoso is wise. Whoso is wise. He's talking about, as we just mentioned, being at wit's end. Wit is short for wisdom. And so when you are at your wit's end, what do? Well, he says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. What do when you reach wit's end? You just reflect on the loving kindness of the Lord and to know that he's in control. He says, and the wise person will do this. They will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And so tonight, are you at wit's end? Have you reached that place where you just can't figure it out? You know, no conclusions? Well, there is peace to be found. There is resolve, and it has a lot to do with our perception and the providence of the Lord. My word to you tonight and to myself is just cry out to the Lord, and he'll hear that prayer. He'll direct you in your steps. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things, God. I just pray that something was said, oh Lord, that would be a help to your people tonight. God, I just pray that you would lead us out safely to our respected homes. Keep us safe, Lord. Bring us back safely on Sunday. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything to mention before we...